Local author Chris Enns, who has been writing about women of the Old West, gosh, for more than 10 years, I think we've done these interviews, a number of books out, and we're here to talk about Chris's latest book, which is an epic tale of the romance and lives of Elizabeth Bacon Custer and, of course, her famous husband. So, Chris, good to see you.
Thank you very much.
The title of the book is None Wounded, None Missing, All Dead.
Right.
Okay.
The title arrives from the way that she was given the news, or what she was told when she was officially found out that George had been killed. George had told her, don't listen to rumors about if you hear that I have been killed, because you want to wait for someone official to tell you. And that's what they did. At 2 o'clock in the morning, they knock on her door, she answers, and the official on the other side says, none wounded, none missing, all dead.
And that was that. Wow.
That was it. She went with the officials to tell the other 24 widows of the Little Bighorn that their husbands had passed away, even though she was very upset.
I guess you were just telling me that General Custer was in his early 30s when he died, but he and Elizabeth had a long romance and a very interesting life together.
They did.
They spent a lot of time apart, too.
They did, most certainly. But they were married for 12 years, and she was a fierce letter writer. He was as well, and they wrote each other constantly, and their letters really show you what happened when they would go and live in the plains. Elizabeth was one of the first women in the military to go and live in the tents with her husband. And it wasn't just her notoriety with being Custer's wife, but she was a great writer in and of herself, and a great artist. I mean, she frequently, she'd written 3 best-selling books, and kept journals, and all her journals included different artwork that she would make sure that she would draw and put together different pieces of material and that kind of thing in her journals. I mean, she started keeping them when she was 10 years old and her mother died.
Yeah, interesting. What's interesting about this book, and I think noteworthy, especially for history buffs, is that you actually, and we talked about this last time we interviewed together a year or so ago, that you were working on trying to get into the Elizabeth Custer Museum and see some of the private documents that no one had ever seen before. Who was holding these, and what did you have to go through? What did you discover?
A wonderful man by the name of Chris Courtlander, who is the director of the Elizabeth Custer Museum in Gary Owen Town, Montana, which is just this little blip on the map, but it really was the location for Sitting Bull just before he went into The Last Stand. And he opened up his vault and was able to give me some of the items that was in George Custer's footlocker that Elizabeth found after he had passed away, one of which was $13,000 worth of promissory notes that he had written because he liked playing cards and betting on the horses. She had no idea that they were in that kind of debt. Some of the other items were wedding card that they had at their reception when they were married in February 1864, and some of the others were photos of women that she thought were her friends, but were indeed the women that George were having affairs with when they were stationed at Fort Lincoln, Nebraska. She would often send George back to Monroe, Michigan to get some of her friends to travel out with them so she could possibly hook them up with some of the single gentlemen at the post. She had no idea that when George would go to pick them up and then bring them back, that some fooling around was going on.
Yeah, I guess, but she really covered that up. I get the sense.
She tried to protect
his reputation as well as her own.
That was what she was all about. She was incredibly loyal. One of the notes that I found among her things was a note that said, Forget, it is the secret of life. And she had written that in French. And that was her motto throughout the course of her lifetime whenever anybody would bring up his possible infidelities. She chose to ignore that and to be able to express what a wonderful soldier he was and how dedicated he was to his job. And, you know, outside of the fooling around, he was a good husband to her.
Well, you had alluded to the fact that they had some type of a secret code that they used in their letters. I would assume when they were discussing these delicate matters, they went back and forth.
They did. They wrote everything in shorthand, and her journals and his letters have been preserved at the museum. No one has really been able yet to crack the code. I took a look at it, and it's unlike anything I've ever seen before, but, you know, that was, they didn't want it to fall into the wrong hands and people be able to print any of their private fights that they were having.
That's a good way to do it, I guess. Yeah. Not like going on Facebook today.
That's correct, where everybody knows what's going on. Right. They didn't want anybody to know.
Right. And, you know, he had a lot of dogs too. You were telling me about that.
He did. He had some 40 dogs at one time, mostly greyhounds, that followed them onto the plains. I mean, he was a dog nut, and some of the dogs he also raced, but she really wasn't crazy about the dogs. It was quite expensive to maintain that pack of animals, but she appreciated them on the cold, long winter Kansas nights when it was freezing in the tents, and she could pull all those animals in there and really get warm.
The new book, None Wounded, None Missing, All Dead, The Story of Elizabeth Bacon Custer, by Chris Enns, who lives here in Grass Valley. But I would guess, Chris, you must travel pretty extensively to research all of the historical Western stories that you produce.
I do, and it's really, I really feel very lucky in the fact that I do get to do that. Going to be going back through Montana to do some book signings because it's the 135th anniversary of Custer's Last Stand. So I'll be in Billings and then Gary Owentown and then on to Bozeman and doing some research for some other books along the way.
Yeah, we had a minute too to talk about, you have a publisher, but it to be a successful author, I think in today's field of so many authors and books out there, you really have to hustle yourself, don't you?
You do. As I was saying before we went on the air, a publishing house typically does 760 to 820 titles a year. Your little book is small peanuts in comparison to all of that, and so they're really not going to spend a lot of money making sure that your title gets the word out that it's available.
Who's your publisher?
Glow Pequo Press.
Okay.
I say, as I've just disrespected them. They're wonderful. I've been working with them for years.
Yeah, we have a lot of authors probably listening to us right now because many live here, and they always face that dilemma. Do I get a publisher or do I self-publish? Kind of a
Right, and
a
I do
question.
Think it's good to be able to get a publisher because you have that meat behind you, but it still comes down to having to do some work.
The book's going to be at Barnes & Noble, Amazon. You have an April 12th release, although you think it might come out early at the bookseller
in Grass Valley. I'm going to go down there and check and see if
they might have it early. And you have a website where people can get some details of a contest, a launch party that's going to happen in Dodge City.
That's right.
Okay.
And it's going to be at Dodge City because that's where George and Elizabeth kicked off their tour out west. But it's www.chrisentz.com.
Okay. And Chris Enns, it's Chris, C-H-R-I-S-E-N-S-S. Kind of an unusual spelling there.
That's right.
People can Google it and I'm sure find it. Well, so another, which book is this? What number now for you?
25.
Western themed books. You've been very busy. And this one is None Wounded, None Missing, All Dead, The Story of Elizabeth Bacon Custer. Chris Enns, thanks for coming in. Always
Thank
exciting. You.
You
do great research.
Thank
I appreciate
you very
it.
Much.